This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about AmFest, which I'm sure everyone else is. But we're going to talk about the evangelical news portion of that, which is Doug Wilson and his media fiasco, in which he wanted to bring up the USS Liberty. But wait, there's also more that should be more reported, get a little bit more attention in what he did there that was also bad. So Doug Wilson had a very, bad showing at AmFest, at least in what will go down in online history. And we're going to cover that here. But first, I want to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at our Patreon-like system that's linked in the description below. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. So Doug Wilson, if you're unfamiliar, is a famous evangelical pastor. He's out of Moscow, Idaho, and he runs a lot of things there, and a bit of a mogul himself in the world of Big Eva. Even if he is a bit of the black sheep of Big Eva at the moment, nevertheless, here he is at AmFest because he is a pastor getting a lot of publicity in the political space. Because he's riding the tide of Christian nationalism. So anyway, here's him in his bit of an opening salvo with his fake debate with Steve Dace. And the reason why this is a fake debate is because Doug Wilson and Steve Dace neither represent a side, so they don't represent a side on any audience, but they also don't really disagree on anything substantive. At least not for the purposes of this debate. Steve Dace is a closet dispensationalist, but very obviously so. He won't admit it. And then Doug Wilson's so philo-Semitic that he might as well also, he functionally leans into dispensationalism, even if not theologically. So it's not really a good debate to have. Nevertheless, TPUSA, for some reason, thought that these two guys or who they wanted to bring in to talk to younger people and take Q&A. And it doesn't really go too well, but nevertheless, we'll get into that in a second. But here is Doug Wilson's, bit of an opening salvo on this topic.
Jew hate is a serious sin. What do I mean by high-performance people? The Jews are a talented and hard-working people, and Jewish mothers are always pleased to introduce you to my son, the doctor. But they are also, like the rest of us, sons of Adam, making them dirty, rotten sinners. So if they are overrepresented among the Bolsheviks and the media moguls, just remember that they are also overrepresented among Nobel Prize winners and patent holders. Professing Christians who are backsliding into Jew hate, and it is backsliding, are angry because the Jews don't believe in Jesus. Jews are the enemy, it is thought. But Jesus commanded his followers to love their enemies, which you are manifestly not doing. So why should Jews listen to Jesus if you don't? Last thing, and you may consider this a little bonus round item, I mention it only because I believe it was brought up at this conference earlier. This bonus topic is the USS Liberty, attacked by Israeli planes in 1967, killing 34 Americans. I'm making no assertions here. All I am doing is noticing. All I'm doing is asking questions, like Candace does, recklessly connecting dots. The Liberty was an intelligence gathering ship, and LBJ was president. Israel was in the middle of a hot 1967 war. How confident are you personally that there was no American deep state in 67? How confident are you that we weren't playing both sides and feeding intel to Egypt? How confident are you that America can only be double-crossed and can never be the double-crosser? Your confidence in the essential goodness of the CIA is endearing. I want to close by saying, and this is crucial, I want to close by saying that I believe that debates about foreign policy and America's relationship to Israel and what happened to the USS Liberty or anything like that are totally inbounds and inbounds at a conference like this.
So there is Doug Wilson, and basically what he said, the premise of his line of questioning was that Israel was justified in attacking the USS Liberty. Now, the official narrative is that the USS Liberty was attacked in a friendly fire incident, even though it was a deliberate attack of a flagged U.S. ship that, you know, posed no threat. It was a neutral party in the Six-Day War between Israel and, in this case, specifically Egypt, because there's a couple other nations involved. But, you know, that was the official narrative, that it was friendly fire, even though it was a deliberate attack. It was sustained over a course of time. And I believe the actual story includes the fact that the Soviets came into close range, and the Soviets kind of saved their lives, which is a little bit ironic, you know. In any case, Doug Wilson's line of questioning was premised on America being the baddies, while the Israelis could do no wrong. Or if they could do wrong, it was because of the American deep state. And obviously, this was a very bold, and I would say it's kind of, you know, wickedly deceitful and un-American, let's just be real, line of questioning. And if he wants to use it as a rhetorical device, that's fine, but it doesn't work as a comparison to Candace Owens, because Candace Owens, here's the thing. And we just had J.D. Hall on the talk, and he had a very charitable read of Candace Owens. I, again, not a fan of Candace Owens. I think she's crazy and an attention whore and a lot of other things wrong with her. You know, always in, you know, she was always a token that was elevated, and, you know, now she's broken out of that mold, and, you know, you created a monster, TPUSA, and PragerU. Daily Wire, you all created, through your love of DEI, Candace Owens. But nevertheless, despite your love of DEI, which created Candace Owens, J.D. Hall had a charitable read in that Candace Owens is going off of the past history of assassinations having false narratives baked around them, you know, the government lying to its people and stuff like that. So she's operating off of a historical framework, even if the historical framework does not match the current framework. But in any case, what Doug Wilson is doing is not comparable to what Candace Owens is doing, despite what his entourage of media specialists would say. So Doug Wilson was asked by the USS Liberty people, because there's still a few of them out there. He says, "Thank you for your service. I said nothing of the kind. I said plainly that I was making no assertions. I was running a reductio on Candace-style questions. And even in the hypothetical, the issue is not what the Liberty was doing, but rather what LBJ's CIA was doing." And again, the problem with that is that you're counter-signaling the United States, and there's nothing that the USS Liberty could have been doing that would have justified the attack. No, I mean, again, I think America should have declared war. We declared war on Spain over the USS Maine, which, in my opinion, was far less egregious and a little bit controversial, if you know the backstory there. But nevertheless, that should have been, we pushed our teeth in and stuff like that. But instead, the United States puckered, and the USS Liberty is important because it is a case. It is a case study where the United States submitted to Israel. We got on our knees and submitted to Israel. We bought the fake narrative that that attack was an accident, even though, like, one of the shot-up lifeboats is a trophy in one of their museums. Like, they do not regret the attack at all. They maybe regret that they got caught, and maybe the USS Liberty was sent to get attacked on purpose. Maybe that would be the conspiracy. Were they set up to fail by the U.S. government? Not whether they were guilty and therefore deserved to get attacked, which is what Doug Wilson was doing. So there is a lot of room for Candace-style questions, but I don't see that as what Doug Wilson was doing. He was obfuscating with his questions. So he had his media team get all over this. And he's trying to claim that it was a rhetorical device. And again, the question is not whether what the CIA was doing. It's whether the attack was just or not. And again, Aaron McIntyre, you know, kind of bought into the response. And again, me, Aaron McIntyre, Eric Kahn, and Andrew Torba all had the same similar response to what Doug Wilson said in that clip. But here's Toby Sumter saying, yeah, that is what Doug Wilson said in the clip, and these were good questions. So Toby Sumter says, Oren, I watched a clip, and there's nothing unclear about it. Doug asked if you are confident there was no deep state corruption on our side. No doubt deep state corruption has cost many American lives, I think you would agree. And then Aaron McIntyre responds, the obvious implication would be that Doug believes that the U.S. betrayed blameless Israel, and they were justified in shooting our sailors. I'm really trying to give him the benefit of the doubt after his clarification, but you are literally arguing he was malicious, so okay. And Toby Sumter says, no, the obvious implication is that the people are only willing to ask questions in one-slanted directions. And McIntyre responds, it is okay to ask questions. It is not okay to side with a foreign country shooting your own people, even if your government did something wrong. Might want to let Doug's explanation stand instead of hurting his case. And again, I don't think Doug's case is very strong. Doug Wilson poorly communicated that, and the fact that the internet was an outrage over it, and that he had to run media clarifications, that his own boy, his own mini-me, Toby Sumter, who is sort of his heir apparent, you know, agrees with the majority consensus of what Doug Wilson said, not a good thing. Not a good sign. Not a good sign for the communication in Moscow. Should have had the daughter-in-law take lead on this one, because at least she stayed on message here. But, yeah.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
And that's the thing. That's the thing we as Americans got to understand. You know, it doesn't matter if the deep state at the time wanted Japan to go to war with the United States. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, so they're going to suffer the consequences of that stupid and foolish action, which it was pretty foolish. But, you know, at the same time, Japan's deep state wanted the war with the United States, too. We got to people want to blame the United States for Pearl Harbor, but no, Japan wanted to go to war with the United States. But anyway, a little bit of a digression, but, you know, history matters. And again, like I said, the USS Liberty matters because it is an example of the United States puckering to Israel, where we would have gone to war with a nation that did that in the past. And that is embarrassing for our country. It is a national embarrassment that we let that happen and went unanswered. I don't care about reparations. That went unanswered. So anyway, here's a second clip. And this clip is arguably where it gets worse for Doug Wilson. Because that, okay, he wants to be smarter by a half, or he tries to be smart and fails. This is just plain evil. So here's clip number two.
Corwin, I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. And my question is, how can people even consider that Israel is our greatest ally when the Talmud says blasphemous things about Jesus Christ and claims that non-Jews are subhuman?
I was very quickly... whether or not Israel is our greatest ally is a political question, and as I said in my comments, totally in bounds. We can talk about whether we can talk about foreign policy and whether or not Israel is our greatest ally. That's one thing. The second thing is you have to realize that the Talmud was a collection of writings over the course of 800 years, and it's like it's as though you have someone gathered up all the issues of Cosmopolitan magazine over 800 years, and then you said the Talmud says, you know, Cosmopolitan says, well, which rabbi, which time, which century? There are some, if you get my book, American Milk and Honey, there are some horrific things in the Talmud. There are also things in the Talmud that are pure exegetical gold, right? So you're talking about centuries, and you can't just say one thing, the Talmud. It's too simplistic. I don't mind condemning the things in the Talmud that attack Jesus Christ or attack Christians. I'm a Christian, so I reject that. And whoever did that shouldn't have done that. But there are also things that I have personally learned from the Talmud that are just wonderful insights into Scripture.
Let me add to that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, okay, so Steve Dace will take the microphone and just shill for, you know, Israel as a bludgeon against Islam, which is kind of a ridiculous point. But yeah, he, you know, the question, I just want to highlight the initial question had nothing to do with Muslim allies or would-be allies or enemies or anything like that. Islam was not mentioned in the question. But Doug Wilson shilling for the Talmud, saying that there's good exegetical insight in that, you know, collection of writings, that's just nonsensical. Like, we should not go to the Talmud any more than we should go to the Quran, any more than we should go to the, you know, writings of, the Vedic text of Hinduism or Buddha scrolls or whatever. We should not be going to any of that, any of those resources for exegetical insight into Scripture. That is retarded. You're getting exegetical insights on, say, Old Testament passages from people who reject the Old Testament, who did not, you know, who claim to be the inheritors of the legacy of the Pharisees, who ultimately rejected the Messiah. So those people who did not understand Scripture at the time of Jesus and invented all their own rules, again, so Jesus was fighting proto-Talmudic Judaism. And Doug Wilson wants to run with Talmudic Judaism to interpret the Old Testament. Not a great plan. Not a great plan at all. And no. The holy text of other religions are of no value. No value. Strength is of some value. Obviously, eternal value and stuff like that is what we should be striving for as well. But the insights of the Talmud, no value. So that's a horrendous clip by Doug Wilson defending what is manifestly evil. So now we're going to scroll ahead to the second portion of this. And this part's a little spicy, too.
My name is Vash. I'm from Georgia. And I have a question for Pastor Wilson. So, do you believe that modern Jews, the Ashkenazi, the Sephardic, etc., do you believe they are the same as the Jews of the Bible, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Jews in Jesus' day? And if you do not, I would ask you why you believe in soft supersessionism and that there is a necessity for a new state of Israel for those people.
That's a great question. First, the theory is that some promote is the Ashkenazi Jews were Eastern Europeans, basically, that converted to Judaism sometime in the late Middle Ages. I believe that the Ashkenazi Jews are genuinely Jews, but I think it's a real reasonable question to raise whether or not they are. If someone says Ashkenazi Jews are not really Jews, then I would say, okay, so they had nothing to do with the crucifixion of Jesus, right?
Yes, but it's a weird thing to identify with the crucifixion of Jesus. It's a very weird thing to identify with the baddies in that story. Like, a lot of people, yeah, I think the natural Christian response is to identify with the thief on the cross. I don't know. We don't really identify, you know, you don't really want to identify with Caiaphas. And if you're especially feeling guilty, you might identify with the mob shouting Barabbas. Which is in the hymn, which escapes my mind at the moment. But anyway, the Ashkenazis are a fascinating case because it's so disputable. It's so debatable whether they have any genetic lineage to Abraham. You know, it's a lot less debatable whether the current Palestinians have lineage to Abraham, especially the Palestinian Christians. Their lineage to Abraham seems to be in the least amount of dispute. But the Ashkenazis, yeah, there's a lot of intermarrying in the best case scenario. There's so much interbreeding that went on. So it is entirely disputed, and it's the most studied genetic group in the history of mankind. So, yeah, fascinating, and that's also why I don't think Romans 11 can apply to them. But anyway. Not in a futuristic sense.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
They had nothing to do with it. Secondly, I think it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because throughout the Old Testament, it's always covenantal. It's not DNA imprints or bloodlines. It's the covenant. If these people covenanted with the God of Abraham in the Middle Ages and they've been living that way for centuries, then they're in covenant. They're in that covenant. So most of Abraham's household was not related to Abraham by blood, but they were all circumcised first generation Hebrews, but they didn't have any blood connection to Abraham. So the issue is not bloodlines. The issue is always covenant.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for your questions.
So yeah, that was a bad answer. And so what he said there, you got to catch that. He said that, you know, even if the Ashkenazi Jews were not authentically, you know, descended from Abraham, and they converted during the, you know, Middle Ages, I forget whether you said late Middle Ages or whatever, you cannot covenant with the God of Abraham without Christ. That is a major flaw in the premise of what Doug Wilson said, that you can go to the Father without the Son, you know. John 14:6 is a very clear operating principle for how God works. You cannot reach the Father without the Son. The Son is the intermediary between us and the Father. You cannot covenant with God without Jesus. So this is an insane logical leap. And really, his usage of covenant in the Old Testament is pretty wild. It's very clear that the covenant didn't exactly extend to everyone, you know, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. It's very clear. What about the other, you know, sons of Abraham that, you know, other than Isaac and Ishmael, what about the other sons of Abraham? So it's not exactly, solid logic by Doug Wilson. I feel like his covenantal argument of Abraham's household is very novel, and I don't think it really applies. Like, the promise, you know, he keeps using the word covenant. Let's talk about the word promise. The promise went through Abraham, it went through Isaac, it went through Jacob, the promise. And then from Jacob, then it became, okay, everyone's a part of this. It's just not exactly, it's bad logic, but what he said there contradicted John 14:6. If you can covenant with God outside of Christ, can't you also get saved outside of Christ? The answer is no, you can't. So that's all I got to say about this for now. My name is Ray C. Evangelical Dark Web. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.